15. You know, a song right before the message should prepare your hearts for the message. And a song right before the singing, and really the song service all the way through, is to be sung for the glory of Almighty God. I've been thinking recently and about the purpose of a church service. Not the purpose of the church, but the purpose of the church service. And I believe that song right there fulfilled the purpose of the church service. Because the purpose of the church service is to honor and glorify and magnify the Lord God of heaven. We're here to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And today, as we open His Word, I hope you do not take for granted that I am opening a copy of the infallible, inerrant, inspired, eternal Word of the living God. And He has spoken to us. Let's see what He has to say. What about it? You're in John chapter 15. I'm giving you part two to a message that I gave, I think, last Sunday morning. They're starting to all run together for me, you know what I mean? I think it was last Sunday morning when I began this message in John chapter 15. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. If you're keeping notes with me through the Gospel of John, we've come to John 15, verse 7 through verse 17. And God willing, I'll be preaching on verses 12 through 17 because I've already gotten through verse 11. But we are going to read verse 11 to get the title of our text today, where the Word of God says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Notice the opening statement that the Lord said. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you." And I want to preach to you on that subject. "These things have I spoken unto you." Let's pray together. This is part two to this message. Father, we pray that you truly will receive glory and honor here. I pray, Lord God, that you'll fill us with your power and your Spirit. Thank you today that we have a copy of your precious Word. Help me as the preacher to be faithful to your Word. Help me not to add to it, not to take away from it, but just preach what you've already said. And may you make it clear to us, challenge us, help us, convict us, change us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage before us, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are on full display for our attention. Now, it's a blessing to know that we are studying the actual words of the Lord in this passage. This is what He spoke when He was in a human body. This came out of the mouth of the blessed Son of God. And these words of the Lord are the words of the living God and should therefore be respected, they should be honored, and they should be obeyed. As I was studying this passage, verse 7 to verse number 17, the Lord directed my attention to just the different things that He said that we can all learn from. The truth of the matter is each one of these things is a sermon in itself. I've already given you four of them. I'm going to give you three more. So we're studying seven things that He said. He said, "These things have I spoken to you." Well, what are these things? What are these things? There's seven of them. And as we look through these things together, I'm just going to tap the first four on the head because I preached on it last week. You can go back and get it. We're going to pick up here momentarily with point number five. First of all, the first thing He said, when He said, "These things have I spoken unto you," the first thing He spoke was His conditions for answered prayer. Now, I preached on that last week. It's found in verse number 7. He said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." If you say, "I don't know what that means," go back and get the sermon. Listen to it, okay? Number two, He spoke His challenge to bear much fruit. It's the will of Almighty God for the branches. Now, He's talking about the branches in the opening part of the chapter here. If you're a branch, you're a child of God, you're saved, you're born again, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a branch. And it's the will of God that you bear not only fruit, but that you bear much fruit. That was His challenge in verse number 8. Then we looked at the third thing that He mentioned in verses 9 and 10, and that is He spoke His comparison with his Father, and with us. In verse number 9, you'll notice here he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. He compares his love for us with his Father's love for him. What a tremendous thought that is. Then in verse number 10, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as, there's his comparison, he's comparing, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, I am staying in my Father's love, and I'm proving it by obeying what he tells me to do. And if you're going to abide in my love, then you're going to do what I ask you to do. This was his comparison. Then we saw that he spoke his cause for saying all these things. That was in verse number 11. Why does he say these things to us? Why did he speak these words to these men? Was it to hurt them? Was it to make them feel bad about themselves? No, what was his cause? Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Everybody listen to this statement. God wants to help us. And when he speaks to us and he gives us things to do, or he commands us things to do, or he says, live that way, don't go there, do this, don't do that, he's doing it because he knows he created us in such a way that the only way our heart will find real lasting joy is if we go to his word and obey him with whatever he tells us to do. See, nobody is truly joyful. I didn't say happy. I said joyful, at peace, unless they're right with God. Only a heart right with God can truly be at peace and have the joy that he's speaking of here. Now, we pick up our study with point number 5. These things have I spoken to you. I went into more detail in that last week. Some of you probably wish I didn't last week, but I did. You can go back and get those first 4 points where I preach it more in detail. Number 5, here's the 5th thing he said. These things have I spoken to you. What are these things? Number 5, we see he spoke his command to love one another. Now, we see this in verse 12, verse 13, and verse 17. Now the Lord has already told these men, as we've been traveling through this chapter together, he's already told these men that if they truly abide in his love, that they will keep his commandments. He even said earlier, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, there's people here today who say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You know what Jesus said? If you don't obey him, no, you don't. Because if you love him, you will obey him. Now get this, and he says, you will do that just as I've set the example for you, and I love my Father so much that I'm going to obey his commands. And keep in mind, the command that he's talking about right here in context about obeying his Father's commands, he's staring Calvary right in the face. He's looking at Calvary in less than 24 hours. He's saying, I love my Father so much that even if it means death, I will obey him. Then he goes on here. And he says this, here is my command. You say you love me, great. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you're going to abide in my love, you will do what I ask. Now, what was his command for them at this time? And that's not the only command he has, but for them at this time, in this context, here's what he said. Let's read this together. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. His command for these men was to love one another as he loved them. By the way, friends, what a thought. Because he has just said, as my Father loves me, so do I love you. Now it's my command that you love each other with the love I have for you. You know how much God the Son expects God's children to love each other? As much as he loves them. Which means as much as his Father loves him. Now stay with me here. What a command this is. The Lord Jesus commanded them and us today to love each other as he loves us. And by the way, in verse 13, he showed them what kind of love he was talking about. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In other words, no man can show his love more than to lay his own life down for somebody else. Giving all one has for the sake of another is the way the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. You want to know how much Jesus loves you? Look at Calvary. That's how much he loves you. And it's with that same kind of love that he commands us to love one another. See, life is a valuable gift. And to willingly lay it down. He said, greater love no man than this, that a man laid down his life. Not that he that his life was taken from him. No. Notice the language. He didn't say, greater love had no man than this, that a man have his life taken from him. He doesn't say taken. He says, greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. In other words, I'm willingly going to do this for you because I love you that much. Now get this. This is what the Lord did for us. Remember when the Lord said, no man taketh my life from me? Remember when he said that? Remember when Pilate thought it was a big shot and the Lord was just quiet in front of him and he wouldn't talk back to him? And Pilate basically kind of had enough and he said, don't you understand that I have the power to save you or I have the power to deliver you up to be crucified? Remember what the Lord said? He said, you have no power at all over me. What a powerful scene right there. You have no power at all over me. No man takes my life from me. But I am going to Calvary willingly. I am going to lay my life down. And because of that, he's simply teaching us here the reason he did that willingly is because he loves you. And he loves me. And here he looks at those men and he says, men, by the way, could he have been preparing them for what they were getting ready to go through? He's less than 24 hours away from Calvary. He's not dead yet, but they've just heard him say, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And in less than 24 hours, they're going to watch him die. They don't understand it yet. But they will. And the Holy Spirit of God will speak to them and say, he did it for you. He loved you. And he proved it by laying his life down. By the way, he says laying his life down for his friends. Getting ahead of myself here. But the only way that you and I, who are enemies of God, could be known as the friends of God is if the Son of God laid his life down for us because he loved us. He looks at them and he tells them, I love you, men. And I'm going to show you in less than 24 hours just how much I love you. But I want you to understand something. You're going to say you love me. But if you really love, you'll obey. Just like I really love my Father and I'm going to obey him no matter what. And this is my commandment for you, that you love each other the way that I love you. How much did he love us? Romans 5, 6 to 10 says, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, that means showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. Jesus said, there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But the word of God says that he laid his life down for his enemies. That's how much he loves. He loves this lost and dying world. And he loves you. And he loves me. And now he commands us. You love one another. with this same love that I've showed you about. The love that willingly lays life down for the sake of somebody else. In other words, the Lord Jesus expects me to follow His example and to graciously love others by sacrificing myself for them. I'm commanded to love others as Christ loves me. I'd say that there's many men, especially here, and many ladies, that if we were to ask you, would you die for your mate? Or would you die for your children? You'd say, oh yes, I'd die. I'd lay my life down. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to lay your life down for the person sitting beside you today if you don't even know their name? See, this is a sovereign love. It's a supernatural love. It's a love that only God can give you. I mean, I say this to you, while many of us are willing to die for our family, God said, are you willing to die for your friends? Are you willing to lay your life down? By the way, to point out what he's talking about here, I like what Harry Ironside said. He said, if I really love my brother like this, I'll never want to hurt him. You know, there are God's children who have a grudge against another of God's children, and all they're trying to do is hurt one another. And all that Christian does is tell Jesus Christ, I don't love you. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you abide my love, you will do what I say, and here's my commandment. You love each other the way that I love you. And if we keep that commandment, we'll never want to hurt them. We'll never want to shame them. We'll never want to disgrace them. Even, get this, even if they're guilty and even if they're wrong, I will go to him and seek to restore him in tender love if I'm loving him like this. You know, we forget this so much. And we deal with each other in such a reckless way. May I say this to you, if God dealt with us the way that we deal with each other, we'd be in bad trouble, friends. But his abounding love, love that covers, love that in grace has overlooked so much in our life. Did you ever stop to think if every hidden thing that you've ever done was blazed abroad by God, whether you'd feel like facing the world ever again? God knows things about us that only us and God know. He refuses to blab it to everybody else because he loves us. And he's trying to help us. And he's trying to show us, I know you have shortcomings. I know you have shortcomings. I know you've fallen short there. I understand. I know you're guilty. But I love you. I'm glad today that God loves me. I have failed him time and time and time again. But he just keeps on loving. He keeps on being gracious. He keeps on being merciful. You ever felt like getting on the phone and calling somebody because you heard some trash on another Christian? Can't wait to call them. Let me ask you a question. If you love them the way God loves you, would you ever make that phone call? Would you ever listen to that trash? And by the way, if somebody gossips to you, they'll gossip about you to somebody else. Amen. God says, love each other. John the Apostle, by the way, he was in this room this night and heard this. Here's what he said. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Who said it? John. Where'd he hear it? John chapter 15. I'm telling you, this is the will of God. Do I act like that? That's what Jesus did. Paul could say, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you willing to give yourself for somebody else? That doesn't just mean in death. That means in life. Are you willing to sacrifice you for the sake of them? Long years ago, a missionary over in China was engaged in the work of translating the New Testament into Chinese. He had had an eminent scholar to assist him, and this scholar was a Confucianist who had never heard of Christianity. He had never heard of it. But this missionary engaged him in work because he was such a scholar to help him translate the New Testament. He sat with him day after day, and together they went over the New Testament page by page, verse by verse. And finally, when they had finished, he thought he ought to say something. All through this, he just didn't want to press, you know what I'm saying? But when they were done, he thought he ought to say something to him, and he said, "You've been a great help to me," the missionary saying this to the man. "I couldn't have got along without you. And now I'd like to ask you something. As we've come along through the New Testament, has not the beauty of Christianity appealed to you? Would you not like to be a Christian?" The scholar looked at him and said, "Yes, it does appeal to me. It's the most wonderful system of ethics and philosophy I've ever known. And I think that if I could ever once see a Christian, I would like to become interested." "Wait a minute, I am a Christian," the missionary said. And this Chinese scholar said, "You? Are you a Christian?" "Oh, no." He said, "Pardon me, I don't want to offend you, but I've observed you and listened to you all the way along. You're not a Christian. If I understand it right, a Christian is a follower of Jesus, and Jesus says, 'A new commandment given unto you that you might love one another.' But I've listened to you talk about others who weren't present, saying unkind things about them. And if I know my Bible, sir, you're not a Christian." Now, that doesn't mean the man wasn't a Christian. But the man who was reading the New Testament and came across the words, "You ought to love one another," but yet this man who claimed to be a Christian was just backbiting people who weren't there, gossiping about people who weren't there. This man said, "If I ever find one, I'd probably become one." It means something to God, friends. Shame on us when we talk about each other. Shame on us. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad Jesus doesn't gossip about me. Amen. I don't even have gossip in this sermon, but this is the way it's coming out. That if we love each other the way God loves us, then we're going to cover over a multitude of sin. We're going to be kind-hearted to one another. We're going to forgive one another. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's why. One man said a Scottish physician was noted for his skill in his Christianity. He was a doctor. When he died, his books, his financial books, were examined. And across certain accounts, he had written these words in red ink: "Forgiven, too poor to pay." He's a doctor, he's a Christian. But those who were just too poor to pay, in red ink, he had gone to the books, you know, the accounting system, and just written "Forgiven, too poor to pay." But his wife felt differently about it. And she sued to collect after his death. The judge asked her a question. He said this: "Is this your husband's handwriting in red ink?" "Yes." "Then," said the judge, "there's not a tribunal in the land which can obtain the money where he has written 'forgiven.'" And oh, isn't that the way Jesus loves us? We're guilty. But when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, written in red, wrote to tell us, "Thy, it is done, it is finished, forgiven, too poor to pay." And may I say to you that if he loved me that much, shame on me if I don't love his children that much, because that's how he's commanded me to love one another. Do I love people that way? I want to. But let's be honest. Don't you struggle with the flesh every now and then? Don't, when you hear bad news, you want to believe it? I'll guarantee you one thing: that's not the Holy Spirit of God wanting to believe it in you. It's the flesh. The Holy Spirit of God will say, forgive, cover, be done with it. Love like I love you. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 4, 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Could it be, before I go to the next point here, could it be that I'm speaking to a Christian, that there's another Christian on planet Earth that you don't like? You don't like them at all. You've been bad-mouthing them. They've been bad-mouthing you. You've been criticizing them. They've been criticizing you. And in your heart, you're like, boy, I hope they get what's coming to them. If that's the case, I don't know about it. So if right now you're saying, he's talking to me, that's the Holy Spirit of God talking to you. And here's what he's going to say. Love one another as I have loved you. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I don't know about you, friends. That's challenging to me. There are some people hard to love. Can I get an amen there, please? Can I say this to you? You and I are also hard to love. But he loved us anyhow, didn't he? And that's how we ought to treat each other. That's number five. I think I'm right. Number six. That's the longest one of these points, okay? So we're about to make it, friends, okay? Number six. What's something else he spoke? Number six. He spoke his calling them friends. We see his calling them friends. Look at verse number 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. This is a brief point, but one that is such a blessing to meditate on. The Lord said from that point on, henceforth, from here on, I'm not going to call you servants, but I'm going to call you friends. By the way, a friend, if you just look it up and define it, it's defined as an associate, a person that's attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. It's a person who's on good terms with another person. It's a person who's not hostile in any form. That's the definition of a friend. And may I say this something? This is really something when we consider that when we were born, the Word of God teaches that we were born as the enemies of God. We were. But because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we who were enemies have been called the friends of God. By the way, it's one thing to call the Lord your friend. A lot of the hymns that we sing, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend I have in Jesus. It's one thing to call, he's my friend. And by the way, isn't it a blessing to be able to say that? He's my friend. Jesus is my friend. But it's a complete different turnaround when Jesus looks at you and says, you're my friend. Don't you get it? If I come up to you and I say, now, Brother Chad, I consider you my friend, that means that I consider you to be on the same level with me. Not in height, but you understand what I'm saying? That I consider you an associate. That's what a friend is, somebody that I'm associated with you. I'm saying, if you're my friend, I consider you're like me. You see what I'm saying? But when God says it, I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friend. He's raising you to his level. And he's saying, listen, it's one thing for you to call me friend. It's another thing for me to call you friend. It's a blessing to be known that Jesus looks at me and he says, you are my friend. That's a blessing, friends. I mean, that's Christianity. That's what it is. It's sinful man at enmity with God, having God look at them when I'm talking about his enemy, then he says, oh, you're my friend. That's a blessing. That's been ministering to me this week, that Jesus has called me friend. And I'm telling you this, it can only happen because he died for us. And he took our sin upon himself. He showed them how much he considered them friends Because he said, a servant doesn't know the secrets of his master. But everything I'm hearing from my Father, I'm sharing it with you. I'm letting you know what the Father's saying. Because I'm letting you come into communion with me. I'm taking you into my confidence. I'm going to tell some secrets to you. I'm going to give you the heavenly secrets. Because I consider you my friend. What a blessing. He's calling them friends. Then we see a final thing, and that is number 7. We see his choosing of them. This is found in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now you'll notice starting in verse number 1 and then working down to this verse, he's talking about answered prayer and fruit bearing. Answered prayer and fruit bearing. Answered prayer and fruit bearing. If you're a branch, bear fruit. Abide in me and my word abide in you, and you can ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Now, then it's like he's wrapping this up, so to speak, by bringing him right back to what he's been preached to him all along. If you're a branch, I have chosen my branches to be fruit-bearing branches and prayer warriors who can get a prayer through to God. Now, get this. The Lord told these disciples, they hadn't chosen him, but he had chosen them for what? To bear fruit, and that their fruit would remain, and that their prayers would be answered from the Father. Now get this. The point here is this. God chose these men who had believed in him. He chooses Christians to be fruit-bearing Christians. And he chooses Christians to be prayer warriors who have their prayers answered. Now, stay here. Spurgeon put it well. Here's what he said. He said, God takes the first step towards us. He did that at Calvary, friends. You listening to me? We could not have chosen him if he had not have chosen us. Do you understand? Don't let this trip you up. Sinful man could not approach God unless God approached man. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Praise God for that. God chose man. He chose to step out of heaven. He chose to die for them. He chose to make the way of salvation. And he says, if you come into this, then my choice for my branches is that you're not a branch that withers up and dies. My choice is that you bear much fruit, that your prayers may be answered. This is his choice. Spurgeon put it well, says he takes the first step toward us. He has, however, chosen us not to be idlers, but fruit bearers, not to be occasional workers, but persevering laborers. He has also chosen us to be men of prayer, and he would not have us formal worshipers, but prevalent pleaders. In other words, he chooses that those who choose him, I'm talking about after he chose to come, after he chose to make salvation, and those who accept Christ and become a branch in his family, he has chosen that all of his branches will be fruit-bearing branches and praying branches and praying such prayers that the Father says, yes. In other words, it's the will of God for every Christian to be like Christ. And it's the will of God for every Christian to be praying prayers that the Father listens to. That's the will of God. And that's his choosing of them. Now, in this passage, the Lord said some wonderful things to his disciples. He gave them his conditions for answered prayer. He challenged them to bear much fruit. He compared his love for us with his Father's love for him. He showed how he abode in his Father's love by keeping his commandments. And he encouraged them to do the same with him, to abide in his love by keeping his commandments. He told them how his words that he's speaking to them would bring his joy in their heart, and their joy could be full. He commanded them to love one another as he loved them. He graciously called them friends and no longer servants, and he's sharing the secrets of his Father with them. And finally, he told them that when he chose them, he chose to bring them forth as a fruit-bearing branch, and that their prayers may be answered. So my question for you is this. That's a lot. But just talking about the points today, His command to love one another. His calling you a friend and no longer an enemy. And allowing you to get close to Him so He can talk to you and share some things with you. And then His choosing of you. That you didn't choose Him. He chose you. God made it possible so that you and I can become a child of God. That was His choice. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, His choice is this. All of those who come in, that they will bear fruit and that their prayers may be answered. That means they're praying the way that I've commanded them to pray. So I ask you a few questions in closing. Just talking about the sermon today. Is there somebody in this life that the Holy Spirit of God has His finger on it and says, you just need to love them? God forbid this, but maybe that's your mate. God forbid that, but maybe it's your mate. There are marriages today that could be redeemed, put back together for all eternity if they would obey that verse right there. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a fact. Because when we love each other that way, and she's loving that way and I'm loving that way, friends, there can't be anything but God's blessing on a home and a marriage like that. Is there somebody that God's saying, love them? Just love them. Love them. Get it right. Number two, are you fulfilling His choice for you? His will for you? Are you a branch that has a lot of fruit? And are your prayers being answered? It's challenging, isn't it? And today, these things, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God wants His children to be joy-filled Christians. It will not happen apart from the Word of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, bless this, I pray. May the will of God be done. Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation. And as the musicians get ready, they can begin to play through softly. Today I want to start with where the Lord would have us start, and that is with your salvation. In this chapter, chapter 15, that we're studying together, He opens it up with the branches that are connected to the vine. He's speaking to His children. He's speaking to God's people. Maybe today you've come in here and you're not even a branch. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. If you die just like you are, you do not have peace in your heart that you're going to heaven. I'm not asking, do you hope you're going? I'm not asking, do you think you're going? I'm asking, do you know you're going? And if you know without a doubt, because you've trusted Christ, this has nothing to do with coming to this church, but it has everything to do with what you've done with Jesus. If you know you've trusted Christ and Christ alone, no doubt about it, and you're placing your faith and trust in Him, and you're a born-again child of God, you know it. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you could not raise your hand to that question, it all begins with honesty. And may I say this to you? God loves you. He loves you so much that Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried and rose again to save you. And as pastor of this church, I can speak to you and with authority say, this church cannot save you. Only Jesus can. If you're here today and you could not raise your hand saying, I know I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved, I'm born again, I know it. And you could not raise your hand to that, but you have a desire to. When you have a desire to go to heaven, You just don't know that you're going right now, but you desire to. You can't join this church today. We're not asking you to. But we would like to ask that you give us the exalted privilege of sharing the gospel message with you. Let us take a Bible and share what God said in His Word. Be the greatest thing you've ever done in your life. Is there one say, Jody, pray for me? That's me. You're talking to me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything on earth. But if you're here today and say, Jody, you're talking to me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I know this. I'd like to go someday. I'd like to learn more about Jesus who died for me and showed His love for me like that. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. This is my need. Is there anybody like that? Quietly, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. I need to be saved. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, if you raise your hand to that question, let me explain what's going to happen. In just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. And we want to invite you to come. The devil's going to fight this. But if you come, we'll put a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we will help you. There's no pressure here. We're just going to introduce you to Jesus. It's your decision. I trust you'll come, please. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. God is speaking to me in this message. It may be somebody that you just need to love. It may be somebody who's mistreated you. It may be somebody that, hey, they're in the wrong, no doubt about it. But the Holy Spirit of God is whispering to you, saying, you know, so were you and I loved you. So were you wrong and I forgave you. So were you against me, but I was merciful. And all I'm asking is that you do what I did for you. Have you be honest? You say, I'm a Christian. There's somebody in this life that God is speaking to me about. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest about that. Be an honest Christian. Would you do it? God bless you. God bless you. May I say this to you? Every child of God has to fight against this. Because every child of God is going to be wronged at some time or another. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin singing. If you need to come because you need to be saved, you come now. I'm going to come down front and meet you right here. If you want to come, say, God, help me love that person like you love me. As Brother Gary sings, would you come? Come now, please. Now's your time. If you need to come and be saved, you come now. Would you do it? Come on now. Come on now. Now's your time.
Say,
boy, I need this. I need to be saved. I need to get something right with God. Now's your time. Now's your time.
I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're just about through. A couple of you raised your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I have a desire to become one. If you raise your hand to that question, there may be more than these couple, but at least these couple, would you lift your eyes and look at me just a moment? Would you do that? You know who you are. I want you looking right up here at me if you need to be sure that you're a Christian. Now, I don't know your heart, okay? It could be that you're just doubting. That's very possible. Let me say this to you. You'll never be for God what He wants you to be as long as you have that doubt in your heart. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying to you? If you come, I'm trying to assure you we're not going to embarrass you. We just want to help you with this. That's it. Not going to force you. We can't do that. Just inviting you. So I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing one more verse. If you come, wonderful. You'll be glad you did. If you don't, that's between you and God. May the Lord help you with this, okay? As He sings, I'm going to come right down here. If you want to come, now's your time as He sings. Would you do it? It's
have
up to you. Come right here to me.
We'll help you. Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me. Master today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Just keep playing through softly, please. This is Maggie Young, and Maggie, I think you came to the sweetheart dinner, right? Yes, came today, and she trusted Christ during discipleship class over in the gymnasium this morning. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for it. And you're coming to say that you're trusting Jesus Christ, correct? And I just told her, you stay here with us, let us love on you a little bit. Let us help you. Have you happy for her? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I do want to announce that the soul winning seminar at 5:30, I'm going to change locations. We're going to go downstairs, okay? If somebody's coming and you cannot get downstairs, just let me know that when you get here and I'll change locations back upstairs, okay? Don't let that keep you from coming. 5:30. God bless you. Thank you for being here. If you're a visitor, please take your visitor's card out through the lobby. We are dealing with one, so as we leave today, we'll ask you to be as quiet as you can. And let's ask God to help us, okay? Brother Barney Bear, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer. Thank you for being here today. Deacons and wives, if you'll go straight to the gymnasium so we can begin with our meal, okay?